right, so here we are. We're on chapter 20 tonight. Got two more chapters to go after this, but chapter 20 is a very, I love, this is probably one of my favorite chapters in the book of Revelation. Of course, chapter 19 was awesome because chapter 19 was talking about Jesus Christ returning to the earth and, you know, we coming with him as the church, and then now we're getting to the point tonight where we are going to see where he begins to set up what we call the millennial kingdom. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But look at your notes there, page one here. The coming universe as God sees it, we're going to be seeing tonight in this chapter, Satan is bound, the Bible says, for 1,000 years. We'll look at the millennial reign of Christ and also what the Bible refers to as the great white throne judgment. Okay, so those are the three main things we'll be looking at tonight. So first of all, let's just do a brief review here. Again, we've been talking about this 7-year tribulation period. All right, we've seen a lot of things happening. And in the book of Revelation, mainly what you have is you have the first three chapters talking about the church. Okay, and if you remember, we talked about those churches representing the different church ages. And even now, I personally believe that we're in what's known, you know, the last church was what? The Laodicean church, which was a church that thought it was rich and all this kind of stuff. But Jesus said, you don't realize it, but you're blind, naked, and poor. You don't even realize that, you know, where you're at. You know, I'm at the outside of the door knocking, trying to get in, okay? And it just seems like that's the state of the church. And I don't know. Of course, I can't speak for other countries because I know other countries, they're hungrier for God a lot of times than what people are in America. But it just seems like as far as the church in America is concerned, it just seems like people have lost that fire and that zeal and that passion for God. We've kind of got in some kind of a neutral mode or something like that. We're just kind of coasting along here instead of just really going forward with passion like the Lord wants us to. You know, and he said, I'd rather have you, what, hot or cold? Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. But anyway, those first three chapters, we're kind of talking about the different stages of the church age, okay, with those seven churches. And Jesus, you know, when he first started the book of Revelation, he says, John, I'm going to show you the things that were, the things that are, and the things that shall be. And so that's what he did with the church, okay? He was showing him that, the things that are. And then now, as we've been studying from that chapter on, chapter 4 is where we believe we see the rapture of the church, where the Spirit of the Lord says to John, come up hither, and all of a sudden it seems now the church is in heaven. And then after that, you've got these judgments of God that begin. You've got the seven seal judgments. You've got the seven trumpet judgments, or rather, the trumpet judgments. And then the seven vial, or what the Bible says, bowl judgments, when the angels pour out what's like a vial or a bowl, symbolic of just the judgment of God being poured out on earth. So that's what we've looked at. We've also seen the Antichrist. We've talked about him and his henchmen, which is, of course, the false prophet, okay, who's accompanying him and doing signs and miracles, you know, that project and are lifting up the Antichrist and his name. Like I said, the false prophet is to the Antichrist what the Holy Spirit is to Jesus Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit, what he does is he's always lifting up Jesus. He's always promoting Jesus, and that's going to be the role of the false prophet during this time. He's going to be promoting the Antichrist, even telling people to make this image to the Antichrist, and that all people of the world should fall down and worship it. And not only that, but also institute what's known as, we've talked about, the mark of the beast, where everybody will be required to receive this mark either in their hand or forehead. Of course, we know what the Bible says. Anybody that does that will not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, is that just for taking a mark? No. That's because what that's for, or what I believe, is that when you're taking that mark, you're also declaring allegiance of worship to the Antichrist, you know. It's like saying to someone today, the person got a tattoo, are they going to hell? Well, no, not if they receive Jesus, right? So it's not about necessarily taking a mark, but it's what's associated with your allegiance, what you're doing as a result of taking that mark. You're giving yourself over to worship and this Antichrist. Because that's why the Bible would say then, those that receive this mark will not enter the kingdom of heaven. All right? So there you have that. So we talked about that, talked about the Antichrist and the false prophet and how that, you know, they're taking control of the earth's nations and the one world religion, which is represented by that harlot there in chapter 17 that we talked about in Revelation 17. And then here, line 20, now as the end nears, we have seen the world religion, again, this harlot, and the economy crash, these two heinous Babylons. So again, chapter 17, Babylon referred to the one world church, this church that was in power, but not the church as we know it, not the anointed, powerful, you know, church of Jesus Christ, but we're talking about religion and just, you know, this one world type religion, but, you know, it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with God necessarily. It's more humanistic type of church. And then in chapter 18, we also hear about Babylon, but in this case, it's talking about more of the political and economy. In other words, this is basically the Antichrist. It represents his rule and his government and his leadership, you know, of controlling things in this world. All right? And so we talked about that. And then, of course, we've also talked about the Battle of Armageddon. That's what we were talking about last time, last couple of weeks, I guess, where all the nations of the world are gathered, their armies are gathered there in the Valley of Megiddo there in Israel, in that area. And here they are gathered together, as the Bible says they would be, against Israel, against Jerusalem. And, you know, in this battle that takes place, and it's at that time we believe that Jesus will come back, the second coming of Christ, when he will come back, you know, with us, with him, and destroy, of course, the Antichrist, the false prophet. When I say destroy, I don't mean annihilate. I mean they will be cast at that point, the Bible says, in the lake of fire. All right? And then, you know, Jesus will come, and then he will begin this millennial reign, and that's kind of where we're at tonight. All right? So you'll see that there in your notes from basically lines 1 through 25. So what I want to do is I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to start the video for chapter 20 tonight so you can, again, you can just watch the video, or you can follow along in your notes, or just read it from your own Bible, whichever you choose to do. If you'll just give me just a moment, I'll get this started.
I saw an angel come down from heaven, carrying the key to the deep pit and a big chain. He chained the dragon for 1,000 years. He is that old snake, who is also known as the devil and Satan. Then the angel threw the dragon into the pit. He locked and sealed it, so that 1,000 years would go by before the dragon could fool the nations again. But after that, it would have to be set free for a little while. I saw thrones, and sitting on those thrones were the ones who had been given the right to judge. I also saw the souls of the people who had their heads cut off because they had told about Jesus and preached God's message. They were the same ones who had not worshipped the beast or the idol, and they had refused to let its mark be put on their hands or foreheads. They will come to life and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. These people are the first to be raised to life, and they are especially blessed and holy. The second death has no power over them. They will be priests for God and Christ, and will rule with them for 1,000 years. No other dead people were raised to life until 1,000 years later. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be set free. He will fool the countries of Gog and Magog, which are at the far ends of the earth, and their people will follow him into battle They will have as many followers as there are grains of sand along the beach. And they will march all the way across the earth. They will surround the camp of God's people and the city that his people love. Fire will come down from heaven and destroy the whole army. Then the devil, the fool, will be thrown into the lake of fire and burning sulfur. He will be there with the beast and the false prophet, and they will be in pain day and night forever and ever. I saw a great white throne with someone sitting on it. Earth and heaven tried to run away, but there was no place for them to go. I also saw all the dead people standing in front of that throne. Every one of them was there, no matter who they had once been. Several books were opened, and then the book of life was opened. The dead were judged by what those books said they had done. The sea gave up the dead people who were in it, and death and its kingdom also gave up their dead. Then everyone was judged by what they had done. Afterwards, death and its kingdom were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone whose name wasn't written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
Pretty intense, huh? Wow. That's probably one of the most intense videos we've seen yet, right there. But here we have it, though. I mean, this is what the Bible says. Okay, we can't deny it. It's in there. All right, so let's just start looking at this from the beginning. You'll see there in your notes, look on page 2. And what we're going to do, as we have been doing, we're just going to kind of take a couple of verses at a time and just talk about these. So let's look at, again, under line 27 on page 2, Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season." Now, here's a little brief note here in your notes I wanted to share with you on line 28. Never think of Satan as being the king of hell, okay? He will not be the king of anything, but rather a common prisoner held in hell's torment. Satan is no more the king of hell than he is now the king of this world. God owns this world, and he owns eternity. So, you know, people look at him as if hell, Satan is going to be in hell ruling over hell. No, he is going to be tormented in hell, okay? He's going to be tormented there, all right? And so he's not ruling over people and just making it bad for everybody else. No, he's having his own personal torment. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He's tormented everybody else enough. And so, but that's what's going on. So he's not going to be some kind of ruler over hell. He will be tormented in hell, all right? So anyway, when that time comes. So, but anyway, right here, he is bound for 1,000 years at this point. All right? The intention here is not to say, it's not saying when it says bound, it doesn't mean he's just hindered a little bit. No, it means he will be incapable, will not be able whatsoever to tempt anyone on the earth at that time. He will be literally bound where he cannot have access to deceive or tempt anyone at that point. All right? So it's not that he's bound and being hindered. No, he's bound in the fact that he will have no influence whatsoever on anybody on the earth during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. All right, line 1 on page 3, this passage we just read also introduced us for the very first time the length of the reign of Christ. How long will it be? Six times you'll see in this particular chapter that it's spoken of as 1,000 years or a millennial. Millennial reign of Christ, millennial being 1,000. All right, we also see here in this chapter, or these verses, that Satan will again be loosed for a little season. All right, so let me see if I can just bring you up to speed once again. I like to kind of summarize every now and then to keep you on the same page. So Jesus came back, all right, at the Battle of Armageddon. At that point, he lays hold, or his angels or whoever go and lay hold of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And at that moment, the Bible says they are cast into this lake of fire. All right. Then at that point here, talks about what we just read. This angel, John sees this angel comes down, lays hold of the devil himself, and, you know, cast him into the abyss. And then it's sealed where he cannot get out of there. All right. Now, how does that happen? I don't know. But God can do anything. Amen. I know we know that Satan is a spiritual being, and can he be bound? Well, yes, by God, he can be bound. Amen. And that applies, and this is off the subject, but that applies to spiritual warfare as well. When you're talking about, well, how can you, you know, bind something or something like that? Well, that's the power of God doing that, okay? It's not any power that we have. That's a spiritual thing that only God can do. But anyway, so he is going to be bound for this little season, the Bible says. All right, now let's look at verse 4. Here you'll see that on page 3. Under number line 6, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So it seems obvious right here that the description is referring here to the saints that went through the tribulation period, who again did not take the mark of the beast. They were given a choice, apparently. You either take the mark or you die. Okay? They said, well, we're Christians. We've given our lives to Jesus. We would rather die. And so they are. But at this point, okay, they are raised from the dead. Now, I've got in here chapter 7, this refers back here to these tribulation saints. And if you were to go back and read, matter of fact, I just put it in the notes here, the tribulation saints that are referred to here in verse 4, if you go back to chapter 7, verse 9 through 17, this is who this is referring to. And let's just read it for just a moment, just kind of backtracking. It says, "After this, John said, Behold, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which nobody could number, from every nation and kindred and people and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white clothes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood about round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders saying came unto me, saying, Which are these which are arrayed? Or what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And here he says it, And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." So again, it's kind of referring back right here. Again, verse 4, you know, what we just read about these who are beheaded, what have you. This is kind of what this was talking about back in chapter 7. All right, and it says, "They came out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb." In other words, they got saved. "And therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." And so, again, so you can just, there's the rest of it if you want to read that. But the main point I wanted to make are these are they which came out of the great tribulation. So that's what we're referring to there in verse 4. These are the ones that were in this tribulation period, ones that did not go up in the rapture, but as a result of being left here on the earth, you know, and enduring whatever they had to do, now they've had to give their lives because they chose to give their lives and serve Christ as opposed to bowing down to the Antichrist and worshiping him, which he was requiring everyone to do. All right. So, line 9 there on page 3, the expression "they lived," and you'll see that there in the last part of verse 4 up there in your notes on that verse 4 we read, and it says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So that expression "they lived" simply seems to imply here that they were resurrected, all right, and came to life again. All right, everyone with me? All right, now, verses 5 and 6 there on page 3. It says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, this is the first resurrection. In other words, it's this here with these that were beheaded and died for Christ during tribulation. This is referred to at this point as the first resurrection. All right, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, in other words, on those who are part of this first resurrection, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, you know, here these people haven't been dead long, really. You know, sometime during the tribulation period they were martyred for Jesus. But now when Jesus comes back, false prophet again, Antichrist cast into the lake of fire, and all of a sudden there's this resurrection of these who gave their lives for Jesus during this tribulation period. All right? And they came back to life, and now they're going to get to go into this 1,000-year period of where Christ rules on the earth, and they will rule and reign with him, just like we will. Okay? We'll be ruling and reigning with Christ. And let me just say this. This is not in the notes, but I really got to thinking about this. You know, I want you to get a hold of this. God is preparing you now and me now for that time. And we're going to be ruling and reigning with him for that when Jesus' kingdom is set on the earth. Okay, this is not going to be a kingdom that's in heaven. All right, when Jesus comes, this kingdom will be on the earth. And he will be the ruler of this world. And he will have us ruling and reigning with him. We will have responsibilities. All right, so what we do now, while we have this opportunity of our 80 years or 70, 80, whatever years God gives us, 60, 50, 20, I don't know. Whatever God gives us on this earth, what we do now is going to determine what we're going to do then. Okay? And what we're faithful with now, he's going to put us in charge of whatever then. All right? And so we need to understand that when we're talking about living, you know, the Bible teaches how to live by kingdom principles. All right? In other words, you know, Jesus said that many times you'll read in the Bible, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like this. It's like this. It's like this. And he gave all the parables to demonstrate about mercy or love or how things operate in the kingdom of God. All right, which is a lot of times just the opposite of the way the world does it. All right, love your enemies. You know, the kingdom principles. Those are the principles we'll be living by when Jesus is here on the earth. So it's good for us to go ahead and start now living them, right? And following him, practicing him now, because that's the way we're going to be living then. All right? Through Christ rule. This is how the kingdom of heaven is. This is how my kingdom will be. And so I just want to get that into your mind and your heart tonight, that you understand that what we're doing now is preparation for them. We're preparing for eternity and what God's going to have us to do when we rule and reign with Christ. I thought about that. I was just sitting there. If you just sit there and dwell on that for a minute, I'm thinking, all right, if the Lord wants me to go over somewhere and you know, teach these group of people. Because let me tell you this also, and we're going to get into this in a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But there's going to be people on the earth that are still going to have a choice of whether or not to serve Christ or not. He will be the king of this world, all right? But that doesn't mean everyone's going to serve him or bow down. I mean, they will honor him. They will obey him in a sense of respect. But as far as personally everyone committing their lives to him, that's not going to happen, all right? How do I know that? Because the Bible says at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loosed again, and he's going to go out and deceive the nations, and they're going to gather against Christ in his kingdom, against us, basically, and say, you know, say, we don't want you as our king. All right? And so we have to understand that during that time, when Jesus is still here on the earth, and he is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem and ruling the world at that time, and we are be ruling with him, that doesn't mean everyone's going to be a follower of Christ. It doesn't mean everyone's, even at that point, everyone's still going to go to heaven. All right? You still got to have a personal commitment to the Lord. You've got to give him your life. All right? So it'll be then. See, it's really no different. The only difference is now is we can't see him, and we're giving our life to him, right? Then he'll be here. And you can give your life to him and surrender your life to him, just like he was when he was here on the earth around 2,000 years ago. And you can surrender your life to him. That'll be the difference. So it's still a spiritual thing that takes place in your heart and in your life and salvation at that time. But that doesn't mean everyone's going to do it. All right, does that make sense? All right? So again, I want you to understand that while we are here now, what we do now matters. Okay? What you're doing now matters for what God is going to have you doing in His kingdom. So be faithful. Jesus said, when He comes back, will I find someone that's faithful? Be faithful to what God wants you to do. You know, if God's called you to do something, then do it. Don't get back at the end of your life and have regrets that you would have went back and said, why didn't I do that? God put that on my heart to do, but I was afraid because I didn't feel like I was capable, and I was, I just wasn't competent enough to do it. Well, you can't let the devil do that to you. You gotta understand that your capability and your competence is not about you. It's about the power of God that you're allowing to work through you. Okay? And that's what's going to accomplish anything in the first place. So if you do anything for God, it's because He did it through you, and you just allow Him to do it. All right? So don't live your life just one big regret of wishing I would have, because what you do now is going to matter then. All right? I hope I made that clear. I feel like the Lord wanted me to maybe get on that soapbox a little bit, but that was just strong in me, there it is. That's right. We're a vessel. That's right. So whatever it is, and it doesn't have to be anything. That doesn't mean God's calling you to get up in front of the church and preach or sing or something where you're seen. But be faithful, whatever God gets you to do. If it's watching children in the nursery, someone that, you know, or if it's something that no one ever sees at you, you're cleaning the church or you're cutting the grass or whatever it is, just be found faithful because God's looking at your heart. You know, that you'll be faithful doing it, and you'll stand to it, that He knows when it comes that time when we're ruling and reigning with Him, I can trust them. You know what? I can trust them because they stayed faithful even when I know they didn't want to, even when it wasn't always, hunky-dory, so to speak, you know, and everything was just going great. You know, I can trust that person. I can trust them to honor me and to glorify me, all right, and give me the glory and the credit. All right, so there you go. Make another comment, I'll get off again, probably. Anyway, so you get it? So we are going to be ruling and reigning with Him, and that's what's going to happen to these. The Bible says these that are raised from the dead, those that have given their life for Jesus, paid the ultimate price of being killed for Christ, are going to be raised up, there it says in verse 4, and they will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay? So, now I got down to verse 5 and 6, then I got totally off. So let me read it again. All right, verse 5 and 6, bottom of page 3. It says, but the rest of the dead, okay, in other words, those who weren't killed, but as far as martyrs, but the rest of the dead that died during this tribulation period lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. All right, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. On such... the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, these verses now show us that there will be 1,000-year period that separates the resurrection of these martyrs dead from the resurrection of the wicked dead. All right? Or at least up to that point. And I don't want this to be confused, and I'm going to try to explain this the best I can. Let me just read on here. Line 12, the resurrection here at the beginning of the millennium is referred to as the first resurrection. On these, the Bible says, the second death has no power. And as we will see, the second death is the judgment of those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right? Now, who are the rest of the dead? All right? Notice there in verse 5, the very first 5 words, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Well, who is that referring to? These are those who are not resurrected until after the millennial reign of Christ. Now, in my opinion, these could include or would include the wicked of all ages, from the time of the beginning of time when man has been here on this earth until the time during the tribulation after the millennial reign when this judgment takes place. All right, the wicked. So, in other words, the wicked at no point here will have been raised from the dead. All right? Not at this point. The only ones that have been raised from the dead at this point has been, first of all, there's actually been, oh boy, please, Lord, help me not to confuse everybody now. But there's actually been 2 resurrections, you know, when you include this one we're just talking about the tribulation saints. The first resurrection was the rapture. All right, that's found in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, where it says that when, you know, Christ will come back with the trumpet of God and the archangel and the voice of the archangel and all this. And then it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, in other words, we Christians who are still alive, shall be caught up together with them. 1 Corinthians explains that a little bit more in chapter 15, where it says, you know, those dead, of course, arise, but it says we will be changed all of a sudden from a mortal body to an immortal body. So that's the actual first resurrection now. But don't get that confused with where it talks about first resurrection here, because this is talking about as far as the resurrections that happen, you know, as far as the tribulation period is concerned. I'm not talking about the rapture, okay? Technically, that would be the first resurrection, all right? But here it's comparing, this is the first resurrection as opposed to the one where the wicked are raised up. You awake, brother? All right. Okay. So the rapture takes place. We're in heaven. Praise God. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah. And they shall be woken up. Amen. And woken, is that a word? I don't think it is. But anyway, they're gonna rise. We're gonna rise with them, you know. And we're in heaven. Then the tribulation begins. Then we come back with Jesus at the end of the tribulation, 7-year tribulation period. Okay, and then it's when this millennial reign of Christ will begin. When these other tribulation saints at that point will be resurrected. All right, and go to rule and reign with Christ also during that period. All right, let me move on here. So again, let me just go over page 4, top of the page. Who are the rest of the dead? These are those who are not resurrected until after the millennial reign of Christ. In my opinion, these would include the wicked of all ages from the time of the beginning all the way through the tribulation period, and actually all the way through the millennial reign, to be more correct. It may also include those, it may also include those who died during the millennial reign of Christ. Although, as we will see in just a moment, that those who live on earth during that time seem to have a much longer lifespan. All right, so we'll talk about that, and we'll look at a couple of scriptures that talk about that, that during the millennial reign of Christ, people will actually live longer. Okay, and I'll show you a scripture that talks about that here in just a minute. Does anybody have any comments or questions, or have I confused anybody yet? Okay. Do what? Well, I want to make it as clear as I can, you know. So, you know, you may have to go back and reread my notes, and maybe that'll help you. But anyway, so let's look here at line 8 now on page 4. The resurrection of the tribulation saints. This is what we've been talking about. Again, during the 7-year tribulation, this is kind of summarizing again. During the 7-year tribulation period, countless numbers of Christ's followers were martyred. It's at this time, at the beginning of the millennial reign, that they are resurrected. All right. Again, like I said before, number 2 here in your notes, line 14, there will be two phases to the resurrection of the righteous dead, the redeemed who come out of their graves at the rapture, and now the tribulation saints. Okay. So that's the two phases of the resurrection of the righteous who have died. All right. The rapture was the first phase of it, and then here's the second phase of those that died during the tribulation as martyrs for Christ. Now, line 18, the millennium. The kingdom of Christ reign during this time will be an earthly one, which will be for 1,000 years. As I said before, it will be an earthly kingdom with earthly subjects, such as the remnant of the Israelites protected by God in the wilderness, as well as those who survived the tribulation without receiving the mark of the beast, which I believe that's very possible that there could be those who survive this period of tribulation that maybe not take the mark of the beast, but still at the same time didn't give their lives to Christ either. So that's possible. We don't know for sure. But we know there are going to be people during the millennial reign. Okay, again, there in line 22, not all hearts during the millennial reign will be fully committed to Christ during that time, but Christ will rule the earth, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. In other words, there'll be no more deception on the earth like there is. There'll be no more of this, all this politics stuff. No more murdering and illegal acts. In other words, all those things that are happening right now throughout the world, won't be any of that. All right? And it will be the offspring of these people, okay, of these people here that are here on the earth. As a matter of fact, during that millennial reign, they will be the ones that Satan will deceive, you know, whenever he is released again. So these people that are still here on the earth during the millennial reign in their physical, normal bodies, all right, of course, they'll still be having children. You have to understand, only thing different about the world's going to be at that point is that Jesus will be ruling on the earth, and Satan will be bound. Okay? That's basically when it, I guess, and unless you can help me think about this for a second, but if you think about it, the only thing that's going to change is Christ will be now ruling on the earth and his, with his power and his strength and his might, and there'll be no devil to contend with. All right? But still, people, there'll still be people on the earth just as it was before. But now Jesus will be reigning. All right? Does that make sense? See, some people kind of get the idea that all this is happening in heaven sometimes, but it's not. It's happening on the earth. You remember the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and I hope I don't confuse you now. You remember the image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, and God gave him a dream of all the kingdoms that would be on the world, and it was a, had this vision of the head of gold and the breastplate of silver and then the brass and then the iron and then the feet that were mixed with iron and clay, and then it talked about this rock that was cut out without hands, and it, you know, it fell on this image and it disintegrated it, but it then filled the world with that rock. All those different things represented different kingdoms that would be on this world. And, you know, we know that the head was Babylon, okay, which was a kingdom that dominated the world. We know that the breast was, what was next? The Medo-Persian Empire. And then the next empire was Greece, which you've all probably heard of Alexander the Great when he ruled. And then after that, of course, the iron represented the Roman Empire. The ten toes will represent this last day's government that will be here on the earth. And then, of course, then the final kingdom will be this rock cut out without hands, which represents Jesus Christ. All right? And so, again, it's happening on the earth. These are all going to be kingdoms of the earth, not kingdoms. This is not all happening in heaven. Jesus is ruling. In other words, you'll be able to go to Jerusalem, and he'll be there. Amen. Well, I believe I'm going to give you a scripture here in just a moment, but people will still die, I believe, during that time. But according to what the Bible says, matter of fact, just look at it here. I'll look at, see if I can find the scripture here. Saved and people. It'll be, not necessarily. They will have an opportunity to get saved. Because you, yeah, it doesn't say that they won't die, but it does say that they will live longer. Matter of fact, look there on page 5. I'll go ahead and get ahead of myself just a little bit. But look on page 5, Isaiah 65, verse 20 there in your notes. You see it? It's at toward the top, the first bold scripture at the top there. Isaiah 65, 20. You see that? Everybody with me? It says, no child will die in infancy. Everyone will live to a ripe old age. Anyone 100 years old will be considered young, and to die younger than that will be considered a curse. Okay? So during this time, that's the way it will be. All right? It may go back to, it could go, you know, like in Bible days in the Old Testament times. I mean, people were living a long time. You know, 500, 6, 7, and what was it, Methuselah, 969, something like that. No, that will be us. The dead in Christ that rise, we will be in immortal bodies at this point. Yeah, reigning and ruling with Christ. Mm-mm. No, this won't have, no, that's it. Death is, that's it for us. No more death for us, okay? I mean, that's it. Once we, those dead in Christ come out of the grave and they receive that immortal body, it's just that, it's immortal. Okay, it's eternal. It's incorruptible. You're good. You're good to go. We may be walking. We may be just transporting somewhere. I don't know. You know, like Jesus. He just showed up. All right. Tribulation period. Okay. Yeah, so you missed some good stuff. Because, you're right on every part of that, except you hadn't quite got it all yet. Because, yes, everything, the church is raptured. There's a seven-year tribulation period. Jesus, then the Bible says, comes back. Now, not everyone's going to go to heaven in the rapture. Is that what you mean? Not yet. That's not going to be till after this thousand-year period. Okay? Not yet. All right. The dead, the wicked dead, will have not been raised from the dead yet. They'll still be in the grave. You know, that's what the Bible's saying right here. It says only those that died during the tribulation, the Christians, they will be the ones that are raised up and will go into the millennial reign and rule with Christ. All the other wicked dead, the others that have died, will not resurrected yet till after this. But now again, there'll still be people on the earth during this time. Okay, that's all right. Is that clarified? Are you still confused or just a little? Okay, all right. Okay, you have a question? All right, the word tribulation, what does that mean? Well, actually, it just means let's say what would tribulation, it's just trouble. Trials, troubles is what that means. Now, this seven-year tribulation is going to be great trouble. All right, this is going to be terrible trouble. This is going to be the wrath of God poured out on the earth, okay? Not the wrath of man on man, but this is now coming from God himself judging the earth, okay? Right now, we're in this place, what we refer to as the time of grace, you know, and the time of get it right with Jesus, all right, you know. And God's grace is still being, and even during this time, you know, God is still, you know, he's not hating everyone. He's bringing out this judgment, but yet people, instead of turning to God, we've read this over and over again in the book of Revelation, they hardened their hearts toward God. They still wouldn't repent, even though they knew it was God that was doing it. All right, so... anyway, any other comments? Well, this has been a good one, hasn't it? All right. All right. So, again, so let's get back to the millennium here on page 4. Line 22, again, not all hearts will be fully committed to Christ. Everyone with me here? Page 4, line 22. Not all hearts will be fully committed to Christ during this time. In other words, during this 1,000-year reign of Christ. But Christ will rule the earth with a rod of iron. No deception, murder, illegal acts, all this stuff going on, all the atrocities. Okay? But it will be those people, the offspring of those that are born. You have to remember, you're talking 1,000 years. A lot of people can get born in 1,000 years. Right? And these are people that have never understood or never experienced any temptation by Satan. All right? But just for that moment that he's released, he's going to go and he's going to spread his deception once again. And he's going to say, basically it's going to be this: you really don't want this guy ruling over you, do you? You don't want someone telling you what to do and how to live your life, do you? Okay? It's, you know, and the nations say, well, who does he think he is? Now, you have to understand, when Jesus reigns, it's some serious stuff. Because the Bible says, you know, we've never had someone that ruled this earth and says, you know what, you don't do right, no rain for you. The Bible talks about that. Zechariah talks about it. There's nations that rebel against the Lord during that time. No rain. No rain. All right, straighten up. All right. And so he will rule with a rod of iron. Now, he's not coming back to some meek. Of course, Jesus is meek and all that. But he's coming this time. He came as Savior. Now he's coming as Lord. Amen. He's coming to Lord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes. All right, I'm going to repeat your question just for the sake of anyone that's listening. But your question is, all right, when Satan's loosed on the earth, will we be on the earth? Yeah, we'll be here. We'll be with Jesus forever. Okay? Yeah, during that time, yeah. Yeah, because we'll be, I don't know exactly, it depends on, I don't have all the answers to this, but I know we're going to rule and reign with him. Does that mean we're all going to be in Jerusalem with him, or is he going to have us scattered all over the world saying, I need you to do this over here, Mike, Charles, I need you to go over here and I need you to handle this. You know, I don't know exactly what we'll be doing. I can't give you that. That's going to, and again, that's going to determine what we do now with our faithfulness now of what he's going to put us over to do then, our faithfulness, all right? And so yeah, we'll be here. Yes, definitely. Yeah, sure. Because people, again, that might be the thing. I might be teaching somewhere, trying to teach these people that are lost, you need to give your life to Jesus. You know, this is why we serve the Lord. And, you know, the same or whatever. I don't know how it's going to work out. I just know that if anybody tries to kill me, hey, it can't kill me. I'm good to go. I mean, I can say what I want. You can throw all the rocks you want to. During 1,000 years, right. He's going to be loosed. Remember what I just read that? At the end of this 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed for just a season. The Bible just says a season. That doesn't say how long that's going to be, so we don't really know how long a period of time that is. It just says for a season he's going to be loosed and go out and deceive the nations. Question. When we die and go to heaven? No. Now we'll be, the Bible just, in a sense, it compares us to angels in the fact that we will not be married in heaven. It says, you know, you'll be like the angels of heaven, not being married. And of course, you know, and I know we tie things to things down this, and I probably shouldn't have even said that one. Because that's opened up another thing. I just threw everybody into a frizzy right then, didn't I? Some people say, praise God, you know? And some people say, oh, no. So, I don't know. You better watch it, Sister Wanda. But, no, you'll still be the same person. The difference will be you'll just be in a glorified body. You'll be in a body. Now let me just say this. All your imperfections, I believe, will be gone. Okay? In other words, if you can't see good, I believe you'll see perfectly. All right? If you went missing a limb, I believe you'll have it. I don't know that. I don't know that for a fact, but I believe that we'll be healthy, we'll be whole. I just kind of imagine it, and I can't give you a scripture of this, but I just kind of imagine it's like your best year here on the earth, and physical and spiritual, I mean, in every condition, it'll be like that, okay, and even beyond that, all right? Yes. Yeah, from the beginning. Yeah, so no, we won't be angels. I know a lot of people say that, you know, that when their loved ones die, they refer to them as a guardian, but that's, you know, that's a sweet thought, but that's really not scriptural. As far because you know, there you don't become an angel. You just become when you go to heaven. You know, when you're resurrected, you'll be just again, you'll be the same person, but in a glorified body. See, Jesus, you have to remember when Jesus was resurrected, he had a body, right? He ate. You remember that? He came back and appeared to his disciples, and he ate in front of them, and everybody says, praise God, we still get to eat, amen? That's one of our favorite things to do, and not gain any weight. I don't know. But he ate. In other words, he said, here, touch me, feel me, see that it's me, all right? So you'll have a body, a physical body, but it will be a glorified body, and it'll be a body that they'll be able to do things that the normal body couldn't do, all right? That's what I said. All of a sudden, you know, will we have to fly planes to go places? I don't think so. I think the Lord, you know, we can just be like Jesus, and the disciples at one point were just shut in that locked room, and all of a sudden Jesus just appeared right there in the midst of them. I believe that maybe just like that. It's like, I don't see, this is a God thing. It's awesome. Amen. So I don't know how it's all going to happen. I can't give you all the details, but all we can do is just take the scriptures that the Lord does give us and try to glean from what we can of that, and you know, and go with that. All right. Woo! All right. I thought I was going to get through early tonight. That's okay. Let me just tell you what. Let's look at some of the scriptures here. These scriptures that I'm about to read to you, all these are having to do with this thousand-year period we'll be on the earth, okay? Some of the scriptures I wanted to bring out to you. Let's look at Isaiah 2:2-4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, or Jerusalem, shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and he shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So there's one of the scriptures. Look at all the things that tells you right there. It talks about people understanding, you know, that Jesus will be ruling again from Jerusalem. People will be going there to learn from him, learn of his ways. And I think that may be one of the things we'll be doing, is teaching people his ways and things like that, as far as on the earth, and having those of us that God has given the gift of teaching or whatever. It may be one of our responsibilities to do that, to explain the ways of the Lord to people and things like this. It says he will judge among the nations. He will, and it says that people will beat their swords into plowshares. In other words, no more weaponry. In other words, it says there'll be right here, the last part of that says nations shall not lift up a sword against nations. So there'll still be nations on the earth at this time, okay? But there'll be no warfare going on. And you know, I can't remember the statistic, but it was very small when someone just kind of went back and did a study as of when in our time period has there ever been a time when somebody was not at war. And it was very, very small, okay? I mean, even at this moment, you know, we're in a, you know, someplace in the world there is some type of war going on between somebody. During this time, that won't be happening. Okay? And it says they want to be training for war. All right? Because the Lord, he's going to know. Because what you doing? Nah, that ain't going to my kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just going to be, we're going to have Christian generals. You know, we gonna know all these people and all this. None of that. You know. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Look at this next verse here. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born. Now, this is referring to Jesus here. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, and with from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So here it's talking about Jesus and his government of peace, and there shall be no end. You remember God promised David, as if you serve me, you give your life to me, I will always see that you have someone in your lineage who will rule on the throne forever. And who did Jesus come through? The lineage of Israel, the lineage of David. Okay? And so that's how that prophecy is fulfilled. All right, let's look at this one, chapter 11. This is a long one here. It says verse 1 through 4, but it's actually 1 through 10 here. It says, then a shoot will come up out of the stump of Jesse. Now, first of all, let me tell you who Jesse is. Jesse was the father of King David. All right, so again, it's talking about this person who will come out of this line, this lineage of Jesse. Again, David, and of course, again, the application is this referring to Jesus. Anyway, it says, then a shoot will come up out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Again, this is referring to Jesus here. The spirit of advice and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will gladly bear the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees, his eyes sees, or decide by what his eyes hear. He will judge the poor justly. He will make fair decisions for the humble people on earth. He will strike the earth with the rod from his mouth. He will kill the wicked with the breath from his lips. Justice will be the belt around his waist. Faithfulness will be the belt around his hips. And here's now here, verse 6, it goes on to talk about what's going to even happen in the natural kingdom as far as the animal kingdom. Look at this. Wolves will lie with the lambs. Leopards will lie down with goats. Calves, young lions, and year-old lambs will be together, and little children will lead them. I'm talking about peace on earth, goodwill to men. All right. Praise God. Let's see. Where did I stop at? Verse 7. Cows and bears will eat together. Can you even imagine that? All right. Their young will lie down together. Lions will eat straw like oxen. You ever seen a lion eat straw? It's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. It's going to be amazing. All right. Infants will play near cobra's holes. Okay. Jada could be right over there, and you ain't got to worry nothing about it because she's just over there twirling the thing by his tail, you know. She ain't worried. Okay. Anyway, but I wouldn't recommend that now, of course. All right. Anyway, it says toddlers will put their hands into vipers' nests. They will not hurt or destroy anyone anywhere on my holy mountain. The world will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord like water covering the sea. At that time, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people to gather around. The nations will come to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Amen. This is talking about this millennial kingdom where Christ is reigning. I've already read you the next scripture. I'll read it again real quick. It says, no child will die in infancy. Everyone will live to a ripe old age. Anyone who 100 years old will be considered young. You're just a young whippersnapper. You 100 years old. You're just getting started. And to die younger than that would be considered a curse. All right? Now, here's something that maybe a lot of people never really read much in the Bible, but this is what will actually happen. It says, after Christ has destroyed all powers and forces, the end will come. And he will give the kingdom to God the Father. Christ will rule until he puts all his enemies under his power, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. And matter of fact, we see that in this very chapter where it says death and hell or Hades is thrown into the lake of fire. All right. But anyway, it says the last enemy he destroys will be death. Verse 27, when the scriptures say that he will put everything under his power, that doesn't include God. It was God who put everything under the power of Christ. After everything is under the power of God's Son, he will put himself under the power of God, who put everything under his Son's power. Then God will mean everything to everyone. All right, so again, that's the culmination of all that will happen during the millennial reign and after during the judgment, that the great white throne judgment here that we'll look at. And we're just about out of time here. Let's see how much, where am I at? Boy, I still got a ways to go. We may have to go 2 more weeks. Is that all right? Anyway, let me just give you some vital factors here that we've kind of covered about the thousand-year reign of Christ. Line 3 here on page 5, Jerusalem will be the center of his world government. That's where he will rule from, Jerusalem. The life of span of man will increase. The economics of these years will be stable and beneficial to all. The curse will be lifted from the animal kingdom with all living peaceably together and no threat to mankind. There will be no wars at all in the world during this time or even any training for war. Wow. The millennial reign of Christ. He will rule with a rod of iron. Only he can do that. See, there's no man, there's no natural man could do that. Okay, not even Antichrist when he tries to be in control. People, you know, I believe there'll be people in rebellion against him, you know, because his will be just a short span of a kingdom. I believe these other nations will even rise up against what he's trying to do during that tribulation period. Okay? All right. I'm just going to read this, but we're going to stop right here, okay? I'm just going to read this verse, and we'll stop. I'm not going to talk about it. Verses 7 through 10, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, in other words, when this millennial reign of Christ is come to an end, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. which I believe there, of course, is referring to Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So I'll just stop right there, okay, and just leave it at that. And we'll pick up on those scriptures next time, and then we'll go on into the next chapters. Next time we'll look at the great white throne judgment. Again, we'll be looking at here where Satan is loosed for a short period of time, and that. And also something I wanted to look at is, are there degrees of punishment in hell? We're going to talk about that a little bit. In other words, there will be some who will be, their punishment will be greater than others, and we're going to look at that. So let me go back here. I'm going to turn this off back here and just close this out. Praise God. It was good having you listening with us on the internet tonight. We pray you're blessed, and you'll be back with us again next week. Amen.